ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्याज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome everyone to this kind of Silicon Valley. It's a little hot out there today, so we better start with a kirtan. That's as good an excuse as any, right? Hot, cold, whatever, you start with a kirtan. Jiva Goswami, the great Acharya of our Sampradaya, one of the all-time great Acharyas, mentions that in any kind of sacrifice that one does in the process of performing bhakti yoga, one should begin with the chanting of the holy names and end with the chanting of the holy names. Because actually in this age of Kali Yuga, the only thing that has full potency is the chanting of the holy names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, who initiated him into chanting. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who appears as an acharya. He gives his acharya lila. He teaches us how to do devotional service, even though he's Krishna. He takes initiation from his spiritual master, and after doing so, adheres to his instructions and becomes highly successful in the process of devotional service. And one of the basic tenets that his spiritual master, whose name was Srila Ishwarapuri, gave to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that the main process for advancement in spiritual life is the chanting of the holy names. And he gave him a verse, which is an easy verse to remember. Harir nama, harir nama, harir nama eva kevalam, kalauna stevana stevana steva gatiranyata. Which means, in Kali Yuga, which happens to be the period of time we're in right now, in the time scheme given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are four basic time periods which have distinctive characteristics and which one must contend in order to advance in spiritual life. And in each of these time periods, with its unique characteristics, there is a prescribed method for advancing in spiritual life. And in the Kali Yuga, which is 432,000 years long, of which we've consumed only 5,000 years, and the state of affairs seems a little grim already, it's recommended by the scripture itself and passed on by Srila Ishwarapuri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught it to the rest of the world. This admonition, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, that means the holy names, the holy names, the holy names. So Harir means the Harir Nama means the divine names of Krishna. So he says three times. And then he says, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam. So these are two intensifiers, Eva and Kevalam, which means absolutely positively. Everyone say absolutely positively. I mean, how often do you say that? Usually people hedge their statements by saying, well, maybe, probably, whatever. But we say absolutely positively, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama. And three times you emphasize and say, this is it, this is it, this is it, this one thing. Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalau means this age that we're in now, Kali Yuga. Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva means there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. Certainly there's no other way. Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Other than this, there's no other way in order to make advancement in spiritual life. So this is an extremely strong statement. It's passed down to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's good reason behind that. At the end of this class, we'll hear from a poem that was written by an anonymous poet, and it's called the... Well, you put it on the screen, but I would like to have one in the book. Don't we have those blue books anymore? Blue book. Songbook. Collection of songs and such. And we will examine this poem and go over it briefly, because it gives some very directed advice towards those who are eager to advance in spiritual life. So with that, we'll begin. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine. So what we just chanted there, because this is a very specific prayer to the founder Acharya of the International Cypher Krishna Consciousness. And in this prayer, we start because spiritual life means that we are depending on descending information. There are two processes through which one may investigate the world. One is an empiric method. That means to use one's senses in order to delve as deeply into the world as possible and try to extract information. In fact, there may be brute force necessary to do this. And sometimes we see in scientific research, people crack open ant hills to see how the little ants live. And in the process, they ruin their homes and so forth. There's a kind of an intrusiveness to the empiric method and an insistence on one's own power to see things for oneself and to rest away from material nature, rest with W-R-E-S-T, rest away from material nature, its secrets, pull them out as if one were pulling teeth in a dentist chair. Or there's the method, which is the Vedic method, which is to position oneself in such a way that one's open to the secrets of the universe. There are many secrets in the universe that are available only to those who have the right disposition and attitude in life. Of course, that's true in any kind of learning, but especially in the Vedic process, there's a high premium on submissiveness, being humble. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the process for knowledge, for attaining knowledge, begins with humility and pridelessness. This means that one becomes an open vessel, and by one's submissive attitude towards the world, that is, appreciating that I'm limited in my capacity, and also presupposing that there is somebody that's unlimited that can bestow upon me information and knowledge and mercy even. That's, mercy means beyond justice, beyond what I deserve. I can get something better than what I deserve. There's somebody that has such a power. This is the idea of a theism in general. Then one places oneself in such a way in this world that one avails oneself to that mercy, knowledge, and information. And according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, this is abundantly available. But then he says there's a system through which one can attain this, and humility is displayed through a process. And one of the processes he recommends in the Bhagavad Gita is tadvidi pranipatena priprashnena sevaya upadakshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. Please put up the pranam prayers that we just chanted. Thank you. And yes, that's what I'm discussing now. And in the verse I just quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, where did I quote from? From the Bhagavad Gita I quoted. In this verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing the ideal way in which to attain knowledge. And he says, you should approach somebody that's filled with knowledge, who's previously attained knowledge through the spiritual process of developing the right attitude, approaching a person in knowledge, and therefore apprenticing and becoming then moving from being a novice to a master. So he says, tadvidi pranipatena, and how to approach such a person, he says, there's three aspects. Pranipat means that one should submit oneself. And then one should be pratipreshnena, one should give relevant inquiries. You should go there with good questions. Don't go there with absurd questions, but questions that really matter. Once there was a very new devotee in Japan, and when Srila Prabhupada was visiting there, this new devotee asked Prabhupada if he had ever met Indra. Indra is one of the famous devas, or controllers of the material world, mentioned in the Vedic scriptures and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada's response was, what difference does it make to you whether I have or I haven't? How does it help your spiritual life? And so he said, ask relevant questions. So this is pratipreshnena. One should ask relevant questions. And sevaya, one should render service. Because when you do service to somebody, their heart opens. That is, especially if it is unmotivated service. By unmotivated, I mean not that you're lackluster in doing it. What I mean is that you don't want anything in return. If you do service for service, then what happens is, and you'll notice this if you try it out today, then that person's heart opens and they say, well, how can I be of service to you? And the way the great scholar and poet Burijan Prabhu puts it, when you approach a great personality who holds within his or her heart the great secrets of devotional service and love for Krishna, which is like a flowing river of rose apple juice, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you approach such a person with a submissive attitude, ask relevant questions, and render service in which you're not asking for anything in return, that person's heart opens and the contents run out to you. And this is an experience that one can see for oneself. That's why we still don't have the pranam prayer. Could we try one more time? I chanted Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya, but that's what I was asking for. So we chanted this prayer, and so we proceed the kirtan, that is chanting the holy names, with this prayer, because it is a prayer to our immediate acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who has connected us to the knowledge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the prayer that we just sang. You can see it on the screen, on the Jumbotron. And after that, then we sing a prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we'll see within 7 seconds or less on the screen, or your money back from today's class. And this is a prayer to the various don't look up there, only watch here. I don't want your brain to be scrambled. This is a prayer to Krishna, who appears in five features. How many features?
Five.
This is a very interesting way that God manifests himself. Krishna comes as Krishna, but he also expands himself in various features for his own purposes, the purpose of enjoyment. As mentioned in the Vedas themselves, Eko Bahusham means God is one, but he expands himself for the purpose of enjoyment, because there's joy in variety. You can enjoy the variety, especially relationships. And these are various manifestations of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in five features. And as I mentioned earlier, the most, or perhaps I didn't, at the outset of Kali Yuga, this Kali Yuga, Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these are four of the other features. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu you see in the center. There's the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, everyone can say.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Then we say Prabhu Nityananda. And you'll see Nityananda Prabhu on the left in blue, in a blue dhoti there. And then Sri Advaita. He's just to the left of Nityananda Prabhu. And then Gadadhara, who's just to the right of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srivas, who's to the right of Gadadhar. Is that clear? So we can have a quiz now. You can fill in the blanks. And then Gaur Bhaktavrinda means Vrinda. Bhaktavrinda means and all the other devotees, because God means not just God, but also God and His energies. He's never alone. Just as a king is never alone. When you say king, you don't see a king sitting by himself. You see a king with his retinue. He has his servants. He has his queens. He has his properties. He has multiple energies. So similarly, when we say Krishna, we see the many, many energies of the Lord. So I'll say, and then please repeat, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Jaya Shri Krishna
Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Shri Advaita Gadadhara.
Shri Advaita Gadadhara.
Shiva Sari Gaura. Bhaktavrinda. That's a mantra. It's a very powerful mantra. In fact, when you get into the esoteric science of Krishna consciousness by going into the book called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I dare you to try, you'll find out that there's a science in chanting mantra. Mantras are actually, they're not just representative of a deity, they are the deity himself. So when you chant the mantra, you're directly in contact with the deity. And there's a most appropriate way to approach the mantra or the deity. So the way, the protocol you'll see here is that we start with the mantra, as we did tonight, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale. It's too much to ask to get it back up there very quick. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. There it is. And then the second part says, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschatata. And at the top you'll see a picture of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and underneath it says Srila Prabhupada Pranati. Pranati means a prayer of respect. So we offer this prayer of respect to the one who brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to us and who presides, as you see here, he presides over our community, or all the communities in ISKCON, or the greater ISKCON society he presides. And so, therefore, we offer our humble respects to him as the one who brought us this and continues to do so through his writings and his teachings. And so the first prayer says, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale, which means that we offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada because he's very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter of his lotus feet. And he's a servant of his spiritual master. See, this is the credential in spiritual life. You say, what is your line? Who do you come from? Who's your teacher? He said, I don't have a teacher. I'm self-manifested expert. Then you walk away clean. Because in our system, we follow in the line of great teachers, and we consider ourselves the recipients of their mercy. So in the second set of prayers, the pranati, you say, Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschatate Shadarni. It's a mission statement. In fact, nowadays people have their elevator speech, where you get in an elevator, it's like, what do you do? And you're supposed to be able to tell them in 10 seconds or less what you do. And you should know what you do, otherwise you're going to be meandering in life. So what was Srila Prabhupada's mission? This is it. We offer our respectful obeisances. He's the servant of his spiritual master and Saraswati. And he's Gauravani Pracharane. He's teaching what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who's that? The one I just mentioned. It's Krishna who's appeared to teach about devotional service in this world. So he's teaching what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. So he's bringing us this prachar. He's bringing us the speeches and information about the Gauravani. What is the Gauravani? It's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. This is the most valuable substance you can get here in Silicon Valley or anywhere else. There is anything more valuable than this Gauravani. Everyone say Gauravani. And where do you get it? Here at ISV. Everyone doesn't know this yet, but people, more and more people will come, not because we're anything special, but because we're representing this line. We have this substance here. It's available. We're not even selling it. It's giving it out free. Nirvishesh shunyavadi paschatya deshatarne. So it goes on to say his mission is even more specific. Nirvishesh shunyavadi, that there's a conception that's prevalent in the world for various reasons, and there's a whole history behind this, of why people, when it comes to spiritual knowledge and the conception of God, give the reverse of what the material world is. So the material world's full of variety. And I reason, because the material world is always enervating and there's suffering here and relationships end in separation or a disgruntlement. Therefore, spiritual life must be the opposite of that, which means there's nothing. There's no relationship. There's no variety. This is a conclusion that many people come to. And of course, there have been theologians who encourage this idea through elaborate writings and philosophical schemes that they present to the world and encourage people in this way. However, this part of the Pranati says that he's actually teaching something different from that. In fact, he's defeating these philosophies because, in the ultimate issue, they're misleading. Because we as living souls, eternal living souls, have a need for enjoyment. In fact, we're created for enjoyment, but we have to know how to enjoy properly. Enjoying properly means that we need to know how to cooperate with the Supreme Enjoyer. And if we do that, then we enjoy even more than the Supreme Enjoyer, which seems contradictory, but it is our philosophy. That there's an enjoyment through a cooperation with the Supreme Enjoyer. And there is unlimited spiritual variety in the spiritual world. And that is the subject matter of the book Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It describes in detail the variety of the spiritual world. And if one becomes intrigued with that, this is the first step in becoming disentangled from the very disappointing variety of the material world. Do you find it disappointing in any way? Three or four of you? Yes? Anything specific? We're only interested in specifics. If you have a specific, please offer it. Yes? You're ready to say something? Give her the microphone. Empower her. We have a bushel basket of microphones that are on their way out from the cave. There's one back there. Where are the other ones? Hold them up. We need to know where they are. Okay. Tell us about it. You're amongst friends. Feel free to commiserate.
Jobs.
That's all you got to say, and people go, yeah! Yeah, there's sort of an ethic nowadays, which is to take the bottom line over the people. The previous ages, even when I was young, there was a sense that in the corporate world you would take shelter of a company, much the way in which people take shelter of their alma mater, which means where they went to school. That means their mother, alma mater. And it's like, that's my mother. She gave me knowledge and so forth. And companies used to embrace people, give them lifetime pensions and security, job security, and things like that. Anything like that now? No. Not so much. I don't want to go into the details because it's painful to talk about, but everybody knows the ethic has changed and it's not really there. So this could be one of the anomalies that we can think of. Just making a livelihood in the modern world can seem troublesome. Anything else specific?
I just wanted to share something about how the material energy works. So today I was trying to load something from my laptop, and Ramananda Sagarbabu tells me not to load things when the broadcast is going on. So I was trying to finish it between Shivas Prabhu's class ended and yours started. And I started doing it over there, and then I came and kept it here, and the key was to keep this laptop open so that it doesn't go to sleep and stop the videos. And Mukarinda Prabhu was installing something for you over there, and his hand slipped. This microphone fell in this direction. It came and closed my laptop.
I saw that happen. Okay, that kind of explains the whole thing. Sutra for the material world. In any case, everybody knows there are disappointments here. There is a great satisfaction knowing that there's a substance and which contains all variety in the spirit, which is the spiritual world, which contains all variety, which is unlimitedly pleasing, and it doesn't degrade and is not frustrating as our experiences are here in the material world. So nirvishesh-shunyavadi means that he specifically came to relieve us of misconceptions which lead to these conclusions that leave us sort of nowhere. That means on a number line, if you're in negative numbers, it means that you're in the material world, you're spending on a credit card and you're in debt, and you think you're doing well, but actually when the bill comes, you realize that actually, I'm not doing as well as I thought. I'm actually really in debt. And that's karma. You try to move about in the world and you create more debt for yourself. And if you try to get out of that through the philosophy of nirvishesh-shunyavad, which means, okay, I'll just become nothing, you move up the number line and you come to zero. But you can't stay there because we have a nature for participating in relationships. So bhakti comes, and the teachers of bhakti, and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada comes to teach that there's life in the positive numbers, and that's bhakti. So we say, nirvishesh-shunyavadi paschatyadeshatarane, and specifically he's coming, to the west, pushing west, because the further and further you push west, the more materialistic people become, and only the greatly empowered acharyas, and acharya means teacher by example, come into the morass of the Western civilization and teach this kind of a philosophy to relieve people of the kinds of misconceptions that lead to misery. So this is why we say this to start with, to open our hearts to the knowledge, and then we honor Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, who I just mentioned, the various manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in five features. And then we come to the main mantra, which is the Hare Krishna mantra. And it goes like this. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Now this is a prayer that can be felt. You don't have to even understand the language of the mantra. You don't have to intellectualize the process. In fact, if you wanted to do an interesting experiment, here's what you could do. You could get a group of people and go downtown Mountain View in front of City Hall and find a big plaza somewhere where lots of people are walking around, and you could put out a big carpet and you could sit down and maybe amplify it with some microphones and things like that. And you could sit there for 3-4 hours and sing this mantra aloud as an experiment in consciousness and see what happens. And what you'll notice is that it will contrast with the environment. The environment in the downtown area will be a little stark. There's also a sense in which people are looking for a little bit of happiness. But you'll notice that the mantra contrast, the mantra is actually beautiful. It has a beauty, a mysterious nature. There's something about it that people can't quite comprehend. When they listen to it, they hear something in it that sounds like something they've never heard before. And it also suddenly attracts them away from their previous engagements. For instance, they might be thinking, I'm going to the restaurant, I'm going to have dinner, and I'm going to have some libation, and I'm going to have some conversation, and I'm going to be happy. And then suddenly, they are waylaid by the mantra. They hear the mantra, and and something inside them saying, this is better than the libation and the food and the conversation, everything. They're informed of that through the mantra. Everything's there. In fact, one of the great teachers of bhakti, Rupa Goswami, said that Yarabasam pyutam kavalita dvanto vibhavo drisham tatvandanam api dishati bhakti pranayanim. And that is, even if someone has no idea what spiritual life is, if they simply hear this mantra, then they awaken and they can get an inkling of what is bhakti. That's pretty good, right? So that's why this is emphasized as the precursor to any function. One chants Hare Krishna first and afterwards in order to bring the full fruit of one's endeavor, whatever spiritual practice one's doing. Does that all make sense? Well, seven people think so. Okay, eight or nine. All right, so now we'll try it from the beginning. I'll chant the pranati, Prabhupada pranati, and then the what is called the pancha tattva mantra. Pancha means five, tattva means truth. Pancha tattva, everyone say? The pancha tattva mantra. And then we'll chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. That's the great mantra. You're getting three mantras for the price of one. Okay, we'll start. Namo, I'll say and then repeat. Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Sri Mate, Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Itai go Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Itai go Hari Bol. Itai go Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Itai go Hari Bol. Tai go Premanande, Shri Nam Sankirtan ki, Shri Nam Mantra ki, Shri Hari Nam Prabhu ki, go Premanande. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Tai Gaura Hari Bol.
So I was just saying, yes, you could make an experiment and go out in public and do this. In fact, we do quite frequently. Last night, we stayed out till 10:15 at night in front of the City Hall in Mountain View. Of course, we attained a permit beforehand. They're very happy to have us. They like cultural diversity, being Northern California and all. And, you know, one of the most outrageous things that you can do is just haul off and dance in public. It's not something people do that much, dance down the streets. In fact, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was mentioning recently about how in the 1970s, when Prabhupada came and introduced the Ratha Yatra, in the 60s and 70s, actually started in the 60s, 70s, Ratha Yatra is a parade, to say the least, parade of all parades, takes place in Jagannath Puri. He has for thousands of years that Prabhupada replicated in America, and in which the deity of Lord Jagannath is taken on a chariot through the streets, and it's an enactment of his going to Vrindavan, and his devotees taking him to Vrindavan. And millions of people come there in Jagannath Puri, big thick ropes on these huge chariots, and they all pull together. So Prabhupada started that, now it goes on all over the world, but the first Ratha Yatra was in San Francisco at a time when there were plenty of, in the Haight-Ashbury area, which was known for what? Hippies, yeah, hippies. There you go. And so the hippies really enjoyed the festival. He said not so much because they knew what was going on, but because it's like the most outrageous thing that you can do, to go and dance in the streets. It's just what any hippie would like to do. But normally, he said the police would drive them off from doing this, but now they were escorting them. So to go into public, and to have a dancing party where you just people let loose and dance out of happiness to this joyful sound, the divine sound coming from the mantra sung by those who have an impetus to go back to the spiritual world. This is something to behold. It makes people want to dance. And when people see that in public, they're quite affected by it. Even if they're driving by in their cars, the image is there. I know it affected me. When I was a kid, I used to go into Berkeley, California with my parents for my music lessons, and we drive by the Berkeley campus, and the devotees would be out there when I went there and when I came back, and you know, any time of the week you'd go there, you see them chanting. And even though I looked out the window, back seat of our microbus, VW microbus, I'd look out the back and I said, well, what was that? And the impression stays, and you can hear multiple stories from people about that, that there's an indelible effect from the holy name. So watch out, be careful. It does have its effect.
Thank you very much.
armarman, Natari armarman, Natari armarman, Natari armarman. Hey, Natari armarman, Natari armarman, Natari armarman, Natari armarman.